saying?
Yeah.
So what's like the premise of your podcast?
So the premise of the podcast, mental health, men's awareness, but also I think just personal development, also just sharing my story, and then how pieces of my story could like help somebody else. I've been through a lot, and I've been a victim. I've been a villain, and I've now a vessel. So now I look at everything, every standpoint in my life, and I'm like, it's a lot of layers in my life, you know, and I got a lot of stuff that I'm working on. It's not like one thing I could pinpoint that gives me a title, but I just feel like sharing my story and like, you know, helping somebody else, at least pouring into one person, impacting one person's life. And this would be a great platform for me because one is long overdue and two, highly anticipated, but also three, I feel like you know, this is more of the lane that I want to get into as far as impacting more people and, you know, building more of a platform for myself, because there's a lot of things, a lot of opportunities, not just with podcasts, but just, you know, interviewing folks. And, you know, I think for me, it's just a good fit. You know, I did the TV thing. You know, that was a good experience. But I think also, too, it's a lot more layers, a lot more in-depth detail with me behind the scenes of Ready to Love, behind the scenes of what I do at Fit Camp, and, you know, just how I was raised.
I like the episode where you gave the guy a lot of advice about, like, life.
Right.
And it got real deep. I feel like that is what men need the most, like, someone to talk to them and be a man and be helpful. So right. I think this is the good reason why you're doing this podcast as well. So
yeah, no, that was a good scene, but that was real life. You know what I mean? Like, the conversation, where it came from, that was real life. That wasn't fluff. You know, he actually came to me with real life situations and how he felt, and I just saw another black man just feeling drained. And I know what that's like to doubt yourself. I know what that's like to be in fear of, you know, fully living transparent and vulnerable and authentic. You know what I mean? And sometimes society stops us from doing stuff like that. You know what I mean? Because of social media and how they perceive us to be. And it was cool in that moment for him to be himself. Because believe it or not, you know, it's a lot of people that seen him for that. You know, that seen him for who he was being as a strong black man, being vulnerable in that moment, knowing that that wasn't his thing. But that also was me at one point in time. Lost myself, super. Just to backtrack, you know, like, man, where do I begin? I think.
Well, let's begin right now. Tell us who you are. Tell us about name really quickly.
Cool. What's up?
That's right.
What's up, man? My name Naeem Turner. And, you know, folks call me Nah. They used to call me Goldie. I used to rap. You know what I'm saying? So that's a whole nother story. But name's Naeem Turner from Uptown. Born and raised. Got a hell of a story, you know. Been doing a lot of community things in my community since 2013 as far as impacting people's lives, as far as working out and introducing folks, our folks, minorities, to a healthy, active lifestyle. But for me, it was just one day, and it's dope that we got Jimmy right there, because him being murdered one day was like the switch for me. But before Jimmy, you know, I always tell folks I had a heavy acting career. I used to act like I was having my way with life, but life was actually having its way with me. And you know, I didn't know how to operate. And I think a lot of times, a lot of people operate like that. We operate pretending. And I don't mean pretending like frauding, like you got money and you don't.
Right.
Or frauding like you got assets and you don't. I don't mean pretending with materialistic stuff. I mean just pretending like you're all right with where you're at, all right with certain things that goes on, and all right with things that probably happen. And you're operating a certain way and just don't know how to live to your full potential. And I think that was me a long time ago, you know, just stuck in the same patterns of in and out of prison, making poor choices, you know, sleeping with women to be seen, robbing Peter to pay Paul, you know, just seeking validation in the wrong areas in my life. And it landed me in places where I compromised myself heavy. I compromised my freedom, my happiness, my integrity, and I just wasn't loving who I was being. You know what I mean? And
I know people going to X, like, jail. You and Seek on jail? Because I've seen a new podcast about, like, jail stories.
Oh, yeah. And the crazy part is I love jail stories. I watch so much stuff on YouTube about the young boys and all the stuff that's going on in Philly just to, you know, see what's going on. It's so different now. So demographic. And also, you know, what I was watching earlier.
On YouTube?
Yeah, on YouTube. What I was
like, crime stories. That's my thing.
Yeah, I watched Philly Confidential and some. Oh, it's this other guy. He was just telling stories, jail stories, and I was just like, wow. You know, jail is a whole nother world. But for me, if you, like my man said, if you never been to jail, you're not missing nothing. For real, for real. It's a bunch of men. You know, you're not missing a thing. You know, honestly, who you are in outside is who you are in prison. If you making moves and you cool or, you know, stay about, you know, you about your shit, you find a, you know, a group of folks that's doing the same thing. It's a lot of nonsense in jail. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to take accountability for prison. It's not... You know, I can think I'm above prison until I'm in prison with a bunch of folks. And I'm like, it don't matter who I think I am. I'm making no better choices than these men. Rather they do it or they didn't.
Can you speak to the younger boys out here right now? Because I saw something where a kid, like, shot his friend by accident and killed them. And he was like, I'm going to go to jail. Like, he was, like, a kid at heart. And he had to go to jail for life. He had shot his friend by accident and killed him. And he was talking to the cops, and he was like, you know, you going to jail for, like, life. And he was like, but it was the accident. Like, I'm only 16, ruining my life. Can you speak to kids?
I think a lot of times kids just don't know consequences out here right now. They don't know, you know, how deep and severe consequences is of, you know, being in the streets, carrying pistols, you know, doing these things, you know. And it's so innocently done nowadays. Like, I just don't know how, where that shift came from, but it wasn't so openly put out there. It was out there, but, it, you know, just the kids. Yeah. And honestly, you know, I go speak to juvenile centers. I go to different organizations and work with kids, not just the youth and working out, but I go speak and mentor folks, you know, high school kids, you know, in transition homes and youth study centers. And it, you got to meet people where they're at. And it's hard to talk to these kids about success and making five figures a month and being this person out here when it's hard for them to get past the certain patterns that they're at right now. Mm. And a lot of times, kids don't know how to value themselves. They go to each other for validation. They go, you know, it's hard to, I tell my son all the time, I got five kids. I tell my 15-year-old, you know, you might not always seek validation. You might not always feel validated in the house with your mom or with your sister or your, you know, grandma or with me sometimes, you know what I mean? You might seek validation where you're on a football team and they're loving who you are. You go to school, the girls are love. So it's different where we're valued, but at the same time, belief system also. A lot of times, like when I speak to kids and I be like, damn, probably two of these kids out of 20 of them, 24 of them, lifestyles would lead them to being here right now. And a lot of times it's just choices.
Yeah.
Folks don't realize how powerful their choices are. As kids, we don't know how powerful our choices are until, boom, you pull the trigger and now it's too late.
Right.
And honestly, you know, it's just so readily out here and as an example of that, you know what I mean? And it's not blaming the music, but it's just like folks are not consciously having conversations like this where kids are more aware.
Right.
They're not aware until the shit gets on their favorite sneaker.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Most people don't believe shit stink until they get on their favorite shoe. Like, damn, my Prada's. You know what I mean? Yeah, and it's dead ass. You wake up, you go into prison, and now it's like, you know, and I hate to take it to prison, but it's like the mindset, you know, the mindset of men who aren't developed or who aren't working on themselves or just are lost and stuck, you know, and just don't know that they have an option. I was talking to a woman the other day, and she was like, you think people know that they have the option and they just choose not to? I said, a lot of people just don't know how to change, don't know how to grow, don't know how to embrace growth. So it's hard for kids to see that when they're stuck with where they're at. You know, I don't go to school nowadays, but I got an 18-year-old son that's graduating, going to college. He goes, his prom is next week, then we got graduation. So God willing, we get through all of this, right? But it's been a long journey, right? It's been a long journey. No, it's been a long journey.
Amazing.
My daughter is be 20 in August, right? And she's graduated doing her thing. She's about to go to the Marines, I believe. But my son, it's different raising boys out here.
Yes.
It's different raising boys out here. It's treacherous.
What's the difference? Like, if you could speak on that.
It's more or less like, all right, when my daughter was younger, it was more or less guiding her through love and nourishment of just being there as a father. I know a lot of women, a lot of girls don't have fathers in their lives, and she had an active father her whole life. You know, for the past 12 years, I've been blessed, even in my business, to have flexible schedule to either be able to pick her up, drop her off, be at meetings, or be at the trips. And for me, the most important part in my raising my daughter is who I get to be for my child, you know. But the difference is, between being this for my daughter is, you know, I learned a lot in myself raising a daughter versus raising my son.
Yeah.
Y'all good? Y'all look like, yo, yeah, yo, niggas is outside. Think, you owe him $400. He's outside right now.
Ish, what you want to close the door?
No.
Ish, give him the $400. Cash app him the $400.
I'm behind you. Sorry, name. I'm just trying to make sure everything good. We don't want to miss nothing.
No, it's all good.
You were talking about raising the difference in raising a girl versus a boy. Do you believe that girls are just more mature than boys naturally?
Yeah, no, for sure. You know that for sure. Girls been mature. They mature super faster. You know, boys, you know, are super wet behind the ears, even late, you know, even later on in the 20s. When I met my son's mom, she was graduating out of college, two jobs, apartment, car. You know, it was like the normal, you know, it's normal. You know, back then, it wasn't normal for every man to be on their feet. You know what I'm saying? At a young age. Well, a lot of women I knew at a young age was on their feet. And that's, but yeah, definitely women are more mature. They definitely groom and you know, mature faster than men. But what he was saying was the difference between raising my daughter and my son, it was more or less like, damn, I got to be more hands-on with my son because of the influence out here. You know, the influence out here, the music, the streets, the friendships, and I know how it is. So it's like I had to be that for my son, love on my son, and make sure that he knows that who he is in the house versus having to go outside the house.
Right.
And at times it was a task, but it never was a task too much where I couldn't bring it home, thank God.
Right.
You know, but with my daughter, it used to be like, do she like boys? You know, what's going on? Does she like, you know? And it was like, whatever my daughter chose to do, she never was displaying behavior of a fast ass.
Yeah.
And I think as a dad, you worry about your daughter being a fast ass. And it doesn't mean that folks don't love on you regardless, but I was worrying about like, all right, you know, she wasn't into that. That wasn't her twist. Matter of fact, real shit, my daughter is so like, my mom and her mom and me wrapped in one. Like, I was surprised when she started dating boys and they actually liked her. She's so mean and tough and rough. And I'm like, damn, somebody actually love you? You know what I'm saying?
Take some off her.
But I love her because she's very conscious and understanding. And I promise you, I was a dog when I was, you know, my kid, my sons are nothing like I was.
Thank God.
I was a dog. Thank God. I was a dog. And thank God that my daughter at a young age didn't endure any of that. She got her heart broken, but she didn't endure any of that I might have put women through. Because I didn't value myself. I didn't value myself growing up. I was adopted. I went through so much growing up. I tried to find myself outside the house. And by me not feeling valued in the house, I went outside and didn't really value anything. Didn't value relationships, didn't value friendships. You know, backstory. So one day my mom and dad, they brought me in the room and my dad was crying. My dad, one of the hardest niggas pause in my life. And he was crying and I was like, what's going on? He was like, yo, we not your real mom and dad.
How old were you?
I was 11.
Oh, man.
And I'm like,
How long were you your whole life, huh?
Yeah. So I was 11. So, and they was like,
wow.
And I was like, so what that mean? And my mom was like, you're about to meet your real mom and your biological mom in family court. And I was like, I was like, so what that mean? I'm leaving y'all? And my mom was like, oh, no, you ain't never leaving us, but we just letting you know. And they was so broken at that moment. Aww. And they had to tear, thinking about it as an adult, I had to tear them down so much to withhold that for so long.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because honestly, and this is no shade to my biological mom, shout outs to her, she struggled with drug addiction my whole life. And she even struggled with herself to the point where she wasn't able to parent the way she wanted to. And I had siblings, shout outs to my sisters and my brothers, as siblings that were raised the same way as me, that might not been raised with her fully and raised by somebody else, or just was in a dysfunctional space with her, unhealthy space.
Yeah.
Where she still was loving them the best she could, but, you know, like, they got their own story. But for me, you know, I remember meeting her family court and around all these Ricans and white folks and sitting here seeing her for the first time. And I thought I looked like my mom growing up because I was light-skinned with freckles. But I sat here next to this woman. I'm like, I really look like this woman. I remember hearing stories about her before I even met her. Because I would go out in the streets, right? And I would go to the playground. I'm from back Chew Ave. I would go back to the playground. And I had friends early in the game that was selling drugs. You know, because they mom and dad was strung out, or they was just in different neighborhoods. You'd be like, where the fuck you get all that money from, right?
Right.
$200, right? But they used to be like, yeah, Naeem, man. we met this lady. She's talking about, y'all know my son. So, crazy story is, my name at birth is Dante Baker. My story crazy, right?
That is crazy.
They changed your whole name?
So listen, my name at birth, Dante Baker. So the woman tells this guy, like, yo, that picture right there is crazy.
Focus.
Because I'm like, what the fuck is that, a butterfly? Oh, that's everything. Wow.
That's literally everything. So, it is.
So no, they used to come to me on the ball court and be like, yo, this lady talking about, yeah, y'all know my son. His name Dante. Y'all call him Naeem. And they be like, get the fuck out of here, lady. One, she on drugs, so they not believing her. And then two, they see my mom.
Wow.
So they not,
yeah,
they not
like, yeah, they like,
fuck out of here. Saying stuff.
So I used to be like, inquisitive. And then I would like go to certain cousins' cribs, and certain cousins' moms would be like a little envious, jealous. My mom sold drugs growing up. And then she ain't stopped selling drugs till I was like maybe 13, 16.
Your biological mom or your...
My mom that raised me. My biological mom was never in my life.
Okay.
So, my, all right. So
your mom is your mom.
So, my mom, Val. Val. Okay. Shout out to Val.
Right.
Shout out to mom.
They love her on Instagram.
Val. Shout out to my mom, right? Val and Angel. Angel had me. Val raised me.
Oh, got it.
Right? Mm. So, Val told me at 11, boom. But before then, I had went through a lot of little dysfunctional shit with my mom before that. You know what I mean? My backstory with her. But just to stay on track. So, she told me that, yo, we're not your parents. You're about to meet your biological mom in family court, and your biological dad is the nigga that's been coming around as your uncle.
Oh shit!
She ain't Jesus,
Lifetime movie.
She ain't Jesus, say, she ain't say nigga, but she, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so she
yeah.
was like, she said Uncle Vince, and I was like, Uncle Vince. Now, quick story about Uncle Vince, Pop. Biological, his family owned a funeral home.
Mm.
His name is Vince Baker. Baker Funeral Home.
Oh. I buried all my family there. That's so crazy.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
So I don't know nothing about the wow. I'm a youngin', right? I'm knowing that Uncle Vince come around every holiday with gifts.
Oh.
He carrying it, huh?
I remember my mom saying something like, yo, you be playing with his gifts more than you play. You might got all this shit from us, but you playing with this, Jonah. And I don't know. It was probably just a connection. He used to come get me to go to the Sixers games back in the day. Mm. And I remember my mom and pop always used to argue every time he would come pick me up. Mm. Because it was like, now, this is to paint the picture. My mom and pop are really, you know, whatever we've been through, whatever. But I really admire them because they withstood a lot of stuff in these streets. You know, drug addiction, you know, folks is out here falling off. My mom and dad was like really a power couple, despite their dysfunction and they shit that they've been through, right? But my mom sold drugs my whole life. There was a bunch of people around me my whole life. Old heads that still to this day that's still around that can vouch for stories, that would tell me stories later on in life, right? But my mom would hide it from me, like the streets from me. I would come downstairs, right? Like I would go to the kitchen, and I remember two of my old heads' house, rest in peace house, and my other old head, Bam, they be in the kitchen, and they be bagging up coke, like caps, you know, like the valves back then, right? And I remember just standing there looking, and I remember they calling my mom, like, Val, she come downstairs and grab me, like, what you doing? I'm like, no, I was just, you know, and she was like, yeah, these the Christmas tree, the Christmas tree fuses.
Yeah.
These the Christmas tree fuses. And I was like, and I ain't even asked. And I'm like, all right, bet, we getting ready for Christmas in June. You know what I'm saying? Fuck it. You know what I'm saying?
Naive. I love
early,
it.
A little early yeah. Christmas. Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong.
I ain't paying no mind. But it was like, if you look at the scene back then, it was a lot of people around on the scene because my mom was hurt. My mom had it. My mom got a whole little chapter in my book, a whole little chapter. You know what I'm saying? But me and her went through our own little dysfunctional thing growing up where I was molested by her brother. You know, when I was younger. And this is something in my personal development that I had to learn. A lot of my stuff I had to learn how to cope with because I carried it for so long. So the story with that was, and I'll get back to my biologicals, but the story with that was my mom took me to her grandfather, her father's house in South Philly one day. I used to love my uncle. She got 9 brothers, and they all dope. But one of them in particular did some nut shit to me. Mm-hmm. And I remember going down there chilling, and my mom and dad coming to pick me up. And they were like, so how was your time at, you know, Pop-Pop Crib? I'm like, yeah, you know, me and Uncle So-and-so played the penis game. And you see how y'all faces went?
Yeah.
You see how y'all faces went? They was in the car. My pop had a rodeo back then, a Suzu pup. I remember them looking at each other like, and I remember sitting in the car for a long time and just getting out. Let me see where they at. I'm going there. You ever play Twister? Like,
yeah.
My mom on the ground, like, she playing Twister, like, hitting her dad upside the head with a hammer. Like,
with a hammer?
Mm-hmm.
And
there's some other old head in the corner. My dad just fucking him up. But my uncle wasn't there. Mm. I remember my mom you know, your kid, you hear your mom, overhear your mom on the phone mm-hmm. talking yeah. about you, talking shit about you.
Yeah.
So I always heard my mom talking shit about me, right? I was the only child. Mm. They never had kids. Mm. So I remember sitting in the hallway listening to my mom talking to her aunt down south, who I never met. She passed, I never met her. You know what I mean? But that was my mom's mom, aunt. My mom that raised me, mom died when she was 13, so she raised herself.
Oh, no.
Her story different.
She's strong.
She different. But she told her aunt one day, like, you know, that never happened to me. I made that shit up about her brother. And I was like,
no, I was there.
And I was like, no. I was so fucked up, you know. And me and my mom used to gang war. She used to kick me out. He said I kicked out early. And then my pop used to work a lot. My mom stopped selling drugs I think I was 13, and then she opened up a daycare. When she opened up a daycare, everybody that she knew brought their kids to the daycare. My mom really is a kind-hearted person. She has to get the heart of gold because of what she's been through in life.
But let's go back for a second. So you,
I said a lot.
Said a lot, but you know what?
This was
you did a good job telling the story.
You're doing great.
You did a great job.
My question is, let's go back for a second. So to this day, have you and your mom ever spoke about the situation that she believe you now?
Which one?
With the uncle.
Oh yeah. So fast forward in my journey of healing and personally developing and working on myself and forgiving myself and practicing, because I've done a lot of crumb shit too.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I wasn't loving myself, so I was just a reflection of how I was.
Mm.
And I was just being a victim, just taking everything with me, didn't give a fuck, right? But later on in life, when I started changing my life around based on my man passing, I wanted to forgive people that hurt me, that never apologized, and get rid of the voices in my head, the voices of, you know, I'm not good enough and things that I've been through. So having uncomfortable conversations with my mom was a part of the growth.
Mm.
And when I had conversations with her, you know, it was just about the past and things that I've been through. Like, my mom locked me in my room for like a summer, like a whole summer. And took my bed, took everything out, carpet, and locked me in my room with like just a pot in a cot, like at an early age. And then I remember I got out of there, and then she sent me away to the youth study center. And I had so much resentment towards my mom, but she was trying to control me and just didn't know how. And to the point where she started kicking me out. I started stealing from my mom. Every time she would kick me out, I would steal from her. She had tons of money. I would just steal from her and be out in the streets. Cause I didn't know how to defend. I didn't know how to fend for myself. I was young.
Right.
Yeah. I relied on my mom.
Right.
Yeah.
And she did everything for me. But it was like one day we just was clashing. And then when my dad would come home, she would tell me like, when your dad come home, you getting the fuck out. And every time he would come home, he'd be right on her side, kicking me the fuck out. And then my mom did the same thing with my dad. My dad, she used to kick my dad out all the time. And I would defend my pop. She would give my pop grief. All my dad did was go to work. He never went outside, had a smoke, never drank, never hung with his folks. I used to be like, nigga.
Say something.
But I used to, I carried a lot of that shit, y'all. Like, not just with them, but even the resentment of my biologicals. My mom and dad, as much as they was G's, and they let my uncle, so backtrack. So answer your question, yes. I had a conversation with my mom. Later on, her grandfather died. Her dad died. My grandfather died. Rest in peace, Red Johnny. I went to his funeral. I was already developed, worked on myself, forgave. You know, I was already in my thing, right? Journey of healing, years in. And I seen my uncle for the first time. No, not for the first time, for the second time. First time I seen him after that shit happened was years ago. Years later, I was on house arrest. And I seen him, I was like, and I had just became a dad. My daughter was like 3 and my son was like 1. I was like.
Like you saw a ghost.
Right. No, this nigga not here. My uncle, one of my uncles from Atlanta, he drove up. All my uncles smooth. This one nigga I ain't never seen since then.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you know, when I seen him, he was like, he looked like he saw a ghost. And I was on house arrest. I had a bracelet on. And I remember he saw me. He was like, Neff? And I was like, I know. I'm smoking a cigarette. I ain't smoked cigs in years. I'm smoking a cig. I'm like, I know this nigga. And I go in the house, grab my boots. You ever put butters on boots with no socks? That grip that's on you, boy. Yeah. You like, bro, he came up the curb, tripped, went up a few steps, tripped, got up to the top, shook my hand, whoom, grabbed him. And I tried to just do everything.
Oh, my. We want to know, because everyone wants to know, what's the age difference?
And who?
Your uncle and you. Because it's like he was a younger brother from your mom. You know, some people are like.
Yeah, but no, he was. No, so when that shit happened, yeah. I was like maybe 4 or 5. Damn. And he was like beyond.
So he was an adult.
He was a yeah.
Damn. Okay. I commend you for being brave.
Oh, no. Listen. No, yeah. Listen. I used to be embarrassed about telling my friends I was adopted.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm saying it to you now, yeah. But imagine growing up on a block with your homies and you like, yo, that's not my mom. Right. You see how we beefing? And she telling me, my mom, when we and my mom used to beef, she would tell me like, yeah, that's why you're not even my child. You're not my blood. I forgot. You're not my son. I forgot. I don't even know why. And I used to go through it with her like.
Do you understand now that maybe because she didn't have the love, she raised herself, she didn't know how to, just asking how you develop. Yeah.
Because people only know what they know. They don't know what they don't know. So she was, when she told me stories later about her mom and how her mom gave her that love and when she lost her mom, how much that meant to her, and she never filled that void. You know, she had to learn how to deal with a period by herself. Mm. You know, she had to learn, she had to steal panties and bras. Mm. She started off selling weed. She said, she always took pride in, I sold everything but my pussy. She always took pride saying that to me. My mom was really a G, but she, at heart, very spiritual because, you know, she stayed close to her mom's side of the family. And that was a great reminder of her mom. And she always was that. She ended up being that for everybody, even her dad. You know, her dad that passed. But, yeah, when I saw my uncle at the funeral, my grandfather's funeral, and I seen him, I shook his hand, he didn't know how to take me. I was like, it's cool. You know, I forgave him because it was like, he got to deal with what he got to deal with. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like, I can't carry that. Imagine me still be a victim and blame me fucking your life up or me making poor choices on things that happened to me. And I think a lot of folks operate like that and they just don't know how to identify certain things. A lot of kids, when you were talking about shoot, a lot of kids go through stuff. They don't know how to identify what they're going through. They go home and trauma's normal. They go home and loud argumentative households is normal. Kids with no food, nourishment is normal. And it's like, imagine, so I tell folks, if you do 30 days, 60 days, 90 days of reading the Bible, the Quran, imagine what your conversations will sound like. If you did 100 push-ups, 200 push-ups, 90 days, 100 days, imagine what your arms look like. Squats, the same thing, right? How you do anything is how you do everything, right?
He pointed at me.
No. I'm not. I'm dead ass. Because repetition is the mother of everything.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like, okay, reverse that. If you just drinking every day and you don't do nothing else but that, if you hang around a certain type of energy and you never expose yourself to anything else but that,
that's who you become.
But you don't know outside of that what's out there for you. You don't know, like, yo, bro, you in the hood doing this. You should fly a plane. I don't know how to fly a plane. You don't know until you try.
Right.
And I'm not saying go out and fly a plane, but you might end up being one of the best pilots out there if you just apply yourself. And I think a lot of folks just don't know how to start because they just think where they at. They just think in the bubble. They think in parentheses. They don't know what's out there for them. That's why even at a young age, all my friends went to college. I was the only one still in the hood. They would come back from college. I'd still be in the hood trapping. Different outfit, look like a painting every time they see me.
Mm-hmm.
But I was taking pride in the wrong thing.
Right.
I was valuing the wrong thing.
Right.
Mm. And I didn't know how to love myself. And then I'm around a bunch of folks that's not loving themselves. So what makes me think now? They're going to push me forward more than them.
Right. Surrounded by
so it. Now it just dates back. It goes back to that what we was just talking about. It's not about just working out. It's just about like, yo, whatever your school is, whatever your experiences is, my experiences was just mine. It's not like, now my mom did the best. My mom, Christmases, lacy.
Take care of it. Yeah.
Oh, you got every G.I. Joe, everything. I had a water bed. That's why when people try to paint the picture, I'd be like, no, my mom tried her best to give me everything. She just didn't know how to love a certain way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And she was loved a certain way or not loved a certain way. So that's that tough love of go figure it out. Yeah. She made me go figure it out the way she had to go figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you I read somewhere the other day that people, we all want like love from our parents, right? But we should be grateful for what we didn't get because we are who we are because of what we didn't get.
For sure. Each and every one of y'all is your parents' child, whether your dad was there or not,
right?
Whether your mom was there or not.
True.
Even if you ain't have a relationship with your grandparents, you are your grandparents' grandchild, whether you met them or had a relationship or not.
Yeah.
It's our belief system. Mm-hmm. Your parents go off what they were shown. That's why kids do what you do, not what you say. So it's best to lead by example. So like, why one of the reasons why I started a workout uptown was because it was like, yo, as a community, we're going to work out as a village. once a week.
Yo,
like you go to you're a librarian, you're a city worker, you attract everybody different backgrounds. Once a week, we right here. I know all y'all. Let's get busy.
And we networking too.
Not even I ain't even going that far. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, we right here. Let's get results. I went from a 38 waist to a 30. I'm Ripley's, believe it or not. Let's go. Yeah. And y'all niggas that know me know that this never was me. But it's not just working out. It's mindset wise. I'm just doing something different to get something different. I was in school for HVAC. I'm learning HVAC at the same time because I got a criminal background. Mm-hmm. Niggas still won't hire me.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Like as much good as I do on this earth, mm-hmm. I still can't get a gig. I won't Uber, Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
But you're making your own way.
I had to.
And you let people know that they don't have to follow those.
But at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and be like, yo, I knew it. I knew what I had to do. Nah, bro. Like, I was just like, I got to do something different. I don't know how. My man, like, the first 3 days of school, I get a phone call. I'm in class. Somebody called me. Like, it was the same day. Remember Lil Snoop, the rapper?
Mm-hmm.
It was the same day Lil Snoop got killed. So everybody talking about Lil Snoop. And I'm like, right? But I'm like, folks calling me. I'm in class. I'm in orientation. Orleans Tech. I'm in orientation. I come out. Yo, I think, yo, Gold, I think, no, that was Snoop. We on Twitter heavy. No, that was Snoop. No, hey, yo, babe, one girl, hey, babe, check. I think, Then my man called me, yo, we lost. No, I'm leaving out the classroom crying. All these new niggas looking at me. I'm just like,
You guys were close?
Yeah, that was my man. Like, when I was on house arrest, bro, that was my man, bro. That was my man. I met Jim through rap in the streets, and he was just thorough. No kids, thorough. I used to be like, damn, you lucky. He'd be like, no, you lucky. Cause I had two at the time. He's like, no, you lucky. You don't understand.
Who made him thorough? Just so people can understand him more.
Character. Mm-hmm. Even though he had flaws, it was just like everybody was like, he always wanted to clean it up and just do better.
Yeah.
And he always wanted love from people. Mm-hmm. And he always showed love because it was like reciprocity.
Right.
Right.
It was like, and then also he was heavy on, if you don't love yourself, who else will?
Mm.
So he was heavy on treating himself. And then he was heavy on how he treated people around him. He's a real player too, because I used to be out with him back in the day, and we'd be at the mall, and he'll stop at like, what's the store? Urban Outfitters back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he'll stop me. I'm like, what's in here? What the fuck is you grabbing? He'll come out with like five pair of tights. What's this? You know, this for my, you know what I mean? I'll be like, huh? And they'll be like, yeah, you gotta. I'm like, damn.
Was your story similar, like growing up?
No, I mean, he knew his mom. His mom was his best friend. He lived with his mom. Most people thought he durfed and lived by himself. He lived with his mom. But him and his mom was like...
tight.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's my girl. But, you know, somebody might be like, oh, you live with... Nah, man, like, it's different. It's me and my Miz. It's been me and her since day one. You know, but he durfed. He moved all over the earth. He the one exposed me. Like, yo, you know, flights in Miami like 150. You know, we out,
man. Yes. The good old the pipeline.
But you understand, right, when you're young, and you just,
think that it's, you so think it's even not now, reachable.
If I leave it up to the niggas I grew up with, and no disrespect, shout out to my mans and them. But if you leave it up to your folks that you hanging with every day, you're not going to travel everywhere.
Never leaving where you at.
And I'd be like, I started, but you know what it was for me? I was leaving my neighborhood because I was getting far away from my crib. So I was everywhere. You know what I'm saying? My mom used to have a convertible, a drop top, a red pup Cavalier with the white leather. I used to be everywhere. Durfing. And
is that the car you hit somebody in?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Chinese boy.
Yes.
You see how shit don't change?
Don't change.
Like, I love, you know, and I always say this too. I love about me, like, all you gotta do is just fact check that, mm-hmm. and I'll be like, something always connects.
That's right.
But yeah, yep, that's the card. But and that's the will that I got. But you know, but yeah, my mom, man, she did the best job she can. But I just think at one point, you know, when I was kicked out, but just us butting heads and me leaving, it was just like me wanting something for myself. And you know, when you get kicked, I don't know if y'all ever been kicked out. That's traumatizing. Because even though if you're getting kicked out is traumatizing. Because it's like,
where I'm gonna go?
Nobody loves you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I'm at my man crib for the night. We just kicked it, but I'm going to bed and I'm like, nobody loves me.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? And then it's like, you know what I mean? Like, I just took a shower and washed, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
And it's not my house. Right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And I went from, listen, bro, at one point I went from pillow to bedpost. Like, I went to everybody's crib. Like, all my niggas' moms took me in because they seen how I went through it with my mom. And I used to go to all my folks' cribs, and none of them had what me and my mom and them had, as far as materialistic stuff, as far as whatever she had. But all my niggas had something that I ain't have. just a dope ass relationship with their parents. They mom. A lot of them dad, they dads wasn't around. But just their moms. And their moms, all their moms took me in. You know, but then I would get far away from the neighborhood and go to different, you know, different folks' cribs. My cousin crib, every, you know what I mean? I remember I was staying at my man, I was staying at Angelo crib. Angelo lived up Ben Salem.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to his mom. His mom let me stay there. His mom, I worked at Foot Locker and I was trying to finish high school. And she was like, if you going to live here, you going to go to school up here. So I was like, bet, I'm going to go to school with Angelo. My mom found that out and was like, my mom always found ways to like
pull you back in. Pull you,
lure me back in. She didn't want nobody really having too much.
She wanted you to want her.
And my mom always kept that codependency between me and her where I always needed her, bro. Like, true story. When I, later on in life, I had caught a crazy case and I started working at Wawa right there on Germantown Ave while I was fighting, while I was fighting my case. And I didn't want to be seen, but I was working in the freezer, stocking the joints, the juices. And I remember my biological pop walked in and I'm like, oh man, I should say something. I need his help. I ain't seen him in a long time. At one point, our relationship went from holidays when he got older. It was like, yo, man, where you at? Yo, I need you. I need some money. He'd be like, all right, bet. Meet me down the block from the funeral home. Meet me down the block. Give me like $150. And I just brought, he'd just give me some bread and get out. It wasn't nothing too crazy. Thanksgiving, he called me, give me a turkey. It wasn't no relationship. He had a wife. He had a family. He had a whole family. In fact, when I found out where he was living at and I saw his crib, I cried. I was like, damn, bro, you was living like this.
All it is?
You had a maid in the ninth grade.
Can we pause real quick? So you sort of, that's the reason why that your dad wasn't in your life. I'm going to ask you that earlier because he had his own family.
Oh, no. So hold up. So boom, backtrack. When they told me he was my biological dad, I'm going to, you know, I'm hanging with him. And then every time he would come around, my mom and dad would argue. And I would come back and it'd be argument and I just never peeped, but I always peeped that they'd be like, it's the resentment they have for him as a man. Like, cause when my mom, my mom sold drugs that raised me. My mom that had me was on drugs. She wasn't selling drugs, but back then when shit was new, my mom and her was smooth. She was younger than my mom. So she looked up to my mom a little bit. It was like that type of relationship. My mom was making moves. She was a little bit stronger than her, had a little bit more resilience and armor on. She had a baby. My mom can't handle kids. This beautiful little kid, excuse me, she take a liking to me. She say to her one, she say, Angel say to Val one day, yo, I'm going away for my birthday. Going to Vegas. Keep watching for me for the weekend. The weekend turned into 3 years.
Oh, man.
There's no IG. There's no find my phone. There's none of that, bro.
Gone.
So she going. So my mom is already her. So she's like, boom. All right. So look, I know who the dad is. I'm gonna go to the dad. Yo, cuz. Yo, sign this paperwork. Yeah. Oh, bet. Mind you, he went to school. So this is his story. He went to Morehouse.
Okay.
That's the all men education. That's the all men part. He went to Morehouse. He a Morehouse boy. So when he went to his dad, you know, he grew up in money. So his grandfather started the funeral home. His dad got it popping. His dad got it popping in an era where niggas was dying off everything and he like, I got y'all. But he building relationships and he's in the mix and he's like a realist. He's not like my popping and inherited, take it over. But he's raised in it. So he's a little bit, he's not them. But he's raised in it, so he knows the business, but he's not them.
Yeah.
He got a wife. So boom. So back when he was going to mortuary school, he told his dad, like, yo, so he's raised in it. He's got a Lex in the ninth grade. He's got a maid washing his clothes.
Mortuary school.
Right.
No, he's in a ninth going. To, he's going in high school. He in a ninth.
No,
he got
I know.
Lex.
No, I didn't even know there was a school for mortuary. Oh, what? I didn't even know.
Oh, what?
That.
You can do hearing and all that. Yeah.
Oh, what? Oh, first of all,
money, huh?
You just was talking about moving, right?
Yeah, I got a moving company.
Right. Shout out to the moving company. What's the name of the moving company?
Ollie's Movers.
Yeah, there we go.
Go ahead, check them out.
Ollie's Movers.
So listen. Before you started moving, did you know it was that much business in moving?
I had no clue, brother.
How long you been moving for?
A year now.
There you go. So now you probably look at moving pages. You probably look at the whole moving world. They probably got moving exhibits.
Absolutely.
They probably got moving seminars to help you be a better mover.
I'm in the marketing stage now.
You understand what I'm saying?
And it's but different. So yes,
niggas die every day, B.
Yeah, literally.
Old, young, no accidental, right? No so that what. Business is, but it's a different type service. So I'm gonna get into that. But anyway, where was I at?
You was talking about your dad.
Oh yeah, so no,
why your mom didn't respect him.
Okay, no. Oh, so boom, he had a Lex in that. So he went to his dad because he was like, yo, he went to his dad and told his dad like, yo, I'm, you know, the girl I be messing with in the hood, she pregnant. Dad said, yo, you either mess with that hood chick or you go to school.
Oh, that's the options.
He said, Alex, I'll take school for 300. Yeah.
So when he went to school, he met his wife. Oh. Then they had a family. So later on, fast forward, when I'm working in Wawa, I see him. So no. So he's coming around at a younger age. But as teenagers come, it's just a drift. And it's cool because I got mom and dad. I'm not looking for nobody to be around. Even though we got some dysfunctional shit, I'm not looking for you for that. So anyway, I catch a crazy case. 24? And I'm working at Wawa, I see him behind the glass, and I pull up on him. I'm like, yo, listen, I need your help. And he like, you know, he always had these premonitions. Like, yo, God told me about this day. And I'd be like, all right, whatever, look.
I'm in trouble. I'm not trying to hear that. I'm in trouble right now.
I need lawyer money. I need all this type of shit. So he like, all right, look, I got you. So he took me to K&G, got me a bunch of suits, and he put me in the mix. At first, he had me driving limos. So I was driving limos. So same thing. I'm like, yo, no, fuck, who drive limos? Who want limos? What? I'm driving a limo every night. Niggas renting a limo every night.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah,
I'm doing business parties. I'm doing business dinners. I'm doing weddings. I'm doing funerals. I'm doing everything. I'm at the wedding, having fun with the people, drinking this, and doing everything with them.
He said, hey, come on in.
Everywhere I'm go, I'm fraternizing, having fun, getting paid tips, and getting paid for the joint. So I'm making good money. I leave Wawa alone because I'm like, I can't be in the streets right now. I'm hot. I'm doing a lot of stuff. So I just want to show that I'm working. So then I started gradually picking up bodies. He called me one day. He had to pick up a house case. So I picked up the house case with him, and it was like, you know, just stand there, shut up, let him do the talking. Family crying. He picked the body up. I helped him lift it up, take it back to the funeral home, back in the morgue, and I'm like, oh, shucks. Then one night, you know, I get called. Me and some other guy that used to work there, we get called to go pick up a body. Next thing you know, I'm removals. So now I'm doing removals, and now I'm bringing the bodies in, and now I'm setting them up. Now I'm getting a feel for it. Now I want to do more. Because now I feel like I want to add value because there's not a lot of people working here. It's not a first, second, and third shift. It's just us. And now, but now, see, this is the difference. I'm being introduced as Bake's son. So now it's being said that Bake got a son that's working at the funeral home. So now I'm being valued in a way probably I've never been valued before. Now I'm feeling good. Now people leaving there like, yo, that's your son. Yo, he was great. Here, give this to him. That was da-da-da-da. And now I'm representing him. Now I feel good. I I'm keeping it away from my mom, though. Because prior to that, my mom did some crazy stuff when she found out I was talking to my biological mom. My mom was always real controlling. Yeah. Still to this day. You know what I'm saying? She old, need help. She still be trying to control stuff. But I love her to death. But that was my biological pop story. So he went to school. So later on, when me and him got cool, and I started working for him, and I started working in the funeral home. I felt good. I felt valued. Then later on, his wife found out I was working there. I was working under the table for like 2 years. And then his wife found out I was working there. And when his wife found out I was working there, you know, she started grabbing me by the balls.
Yeah.
Clamping me. Yeah. And then, you know what she, and this is, if she ever heard this.
Oh, well.
Because I got brothers and sisters by them. And you know what they told me? One day he went to a school, like, dissertation with one of his sons. And he said one of his sons read, like, something to his to out loud in front of everybody to his mom and dad. And inside of there, he said, I wish my mom let me have a relationship with my brother. When my sisters and them found out about me, they was like, we knew we had a brother. We seen your pictures all around. We always used to ask him, and they always used to be like, and I used to be like, man, I was swept under the rug like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
But it's normally not the man, it's the wife who doesn't want that to break their family for the look of things.
But you know, not even just that. You know what she told him when I was working there? You got him working here, he looked like he next up.
Yeah.
He's gonna inherit what my folks are supposed to inherit. That's now, so crazy. That's what he said out of his mouth. Yeah. At one time, he even told me, now, I ain't know nothing about truck driving school, right? You know how you hear about truck driving school later, and you're like, that was Luke, the same thing.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
I don't know if I could drive, but that's dope y'all make that, right?
The whole thing.
He said back then, yo, bro, why don't you stop working at the funeral home? I'm going to just send you to truck driving school. So I'm like, truck driving school? Would you do that with your other sons?
Mm.
And I'm like, nah, man, I'm cool. And then my hours got cut. My days got cut.
That's how they do it.
And then next thing you know, I was just like, man, I'm out. Fuck this shit. Back to the streets.
You're religious, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very spiritual.
Spiritual. I think nowadays people are more spiritual than
you know what it is?
Anyway.
I was raised Christian.
Really?
I took my Shahada 2 years ago.
Oh. Okay.
So I was raised Christian my whole life. My grandmother, shouts to her, she planted the seed. Then later on, my kid's mom's mother planted the seed again.
Right.
But very, very spiritual. Religious. As in, for Islam, I've been practicing for the past 2 years.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you. Just quick. So you were talking about working at like the morgue, right? Funeral home. So religion. I know Muslim men. Paul, you know, Amir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that is my son's uncle.
Mm-hmm.
So my son's grandfather passed. My son probably was like 11.
Mm-hmm.
So they made my son go with Paul and his dad.
To watch the body.
I felt like he's too young to do that. Can you speak on that? Do you think? Because his dad was like, no, he's supposed to see that type of stuff now.
Yeah.
Take him to a man. And I just wanted to just ask that question to you. How you feel about that?
So it's probably a million hadiths on that. Like actual scriptures on that. I can't speak on that per se. But when that type of stuff is introduced to you, it's new to you because of how you're raised. We're not raised understanding these type of things, right? So I would just say understanding comes with wisdom and just experience, right? And a lot of folks I know was raised in it, right? But I could even say, like, even the first time going to a funeral and watching my father at a young age, church, funeral, crying, pastor, and my father kissing his aunt, my grandmother's sister. And I don't know what to do, so I follow my father and do what he did, and I kiss my aunt. I'm like, what the hell was that?
Why are you saying that? That is so crazy.
No. I'm dead ass because you just spoke about experience. And I'm like, I think death is just an experience in itself that you're not used to unless you're around it. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm.
Unless you're around it. And it's not no disrespect to my aunt. It was like her body was cold. It was like, so my mom, my dad, why the fuck you let him do that? That could fuck him up.
Yeah, that's how
and,
I know.
Right? Mm-hmm. My dad, like, I didn't even know he did that. He followed me.
Yeah.
Right? And that's true story.
We do what they do, not what they
and
say.
Right.
So if I'm in an important funeral, this is an important woman in my family. She's passing. My folks, cousins, everybody. I'm following my father. I'm next to him, sidestepping in the casket. I don't know what to do.
Right.
I follow his lead. So back to what you said, it depends on how you look at it. You know what I mean? You can't make nobody, not you, but we can't make nobody wrong for what their experiences is. That's his experience. That's like I met somebody not too long ago, and we was at a seminar, and I gave him a sandwich. I never make a sandwich. I just made a sandwich one day, and I brought the sandwich with me. And they feed me when I go to these places. They feed me, and I gave a young man a sandwich, and he came to me later on that day crying, like, yo, bro, you don't understand. I'm on my last dollar, and I was trying to decide what I was going to eat. And that sandwich saved the day for me, bro. And I'm like, bro, you know what you're going through right now? You going through something right now, so you ain't never got to go through this shit again.
That's right.
And I'm like, I understand. Because he like, yo, my dad is doubting me back at home. My mom, XYZ, she let her and my, all types of life is life and speak, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, you never know what a person's going through or growing through. So my uncle, my mom, my biologicals, they all got their own story. Nobody never came to the table to talk, to communicate, and get a healthy outcome. Somebody got to be the vessel. Somebody got to break the cycle. Yeah. Somebody got to be transparent and authentic and be like, yo, I'm not cool with this.
Do you feel like it's a heavy weight on your shoulders? Because I do feel like you are very comfortable. Given the episode that you gave today, you're very comfortable telling the stories.
See,
you're
I'm
very
smiling.
Oh, like
listen, bro. Shout out to my man, right? You know, I tell folks all the time, bro. Y'all just meeting me, man. Y'all have no idea. Thank God I don't look like nothing that I've been through.
Mm.
Swear to you, bro. And I'll say that with pure compassion of just God. And just thank you for carrying me this far, because you have no idea, bro.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I don't be out to like try to like, Lo would tell you, I don't be out to like wild folks. That's why when I went on that dating show, I'm like, not like that. I'm like, I'm here to meet everybody, because everybody's dope in their own way.
Yeah.
Who am I to, you know what I mean? Like, come on, bro. I used to feel some type of way about folks, right? That I used to get kicked out and life was forcing me to do shit and they was just on autopilot, ain't had to do nothing.
Mm-hmm. Then you have to worry about a thing, right?
And I'm like, nigga, you ain't gotta. You ever see Belly when DMX was like, yo, you a little confident nigga that's gonna run like me. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, you know, but like, a lot of my folks, shout out to my man Seth, a lot of my folks didn't have to deal with that pressure growing up. And I just thank God that as a father, I was able to provide that for my children still. Because even if my kids are 25 trying to figure it out, you know, we going to talk about you staying here, but at the same time, it's like, y'all going to want to live on your own. Y'all going to want to move, because I'm a pipe y'all up to be out here. I'm a pipe y'all, I'm a confidence builder to let y'all know, like, y'all wavy enough to, y'all got it. And if y'all ever need to fall back, I'm right here. Home is home, but, you know, I think with me, bro, I was just so used to the conditional love.
Mm.
And then I got tired of that, so I just had to learn how to love myself. It was like I got spurts for my mom, then stop. Spurts for my biological, then stop. Spurts for my pop, then stop. Spurts for my, even my biological mom, bro. I used to sell my mom.
She knew it.
Yeah, she know it? Yeah, she know it. Yeah, she know it. She used to, they'd be like, yeah, you work at In-N-Out. They used to be like, yo, she work at the In-N-Out. They used to be like, yeah, yo, she, you know your mom work at the In-N-Out. Back, go up there. Yo, she work at Mystics. True Ave. In-N-Out, boom, yo. I'm building this relationship with her. Does she disappear? I don't see her no more. Does she reappear? Yo, you know I'm back over here? All right, cool. But it wasn't a heavy thing. I used to sell all my friends' parents' drugs.
Yeah.
That's where we from.
Right.
I wasn't throwing it in their face. They parents sneaking, but I'm out here.
Don't you got to?
It's the cycle of dumb shit that we were showing.
Well, Naeem, this first episode was like really informative about you.
Really?
Very. This message
has been brought to you by.
We want to do something each week where you give people like some kind of confidence builder. We can call it confidence builder. We can call it the confidence builder of the week. I don't know, Lionel, what you got? Because Lionel's really good with that.
I don't know.
We're going to call it confidence builder for now then.
Oh, I do think that, you know, he'll, you know, figure based on however Naeem wants to his show to be ran. Because, like, you know, this is pretty much like a pilot. This is the first episode.
Right.
He might already even have something caked into his episode on like how, like, you know, this episode is basically built around integrity, and I'm going to tell you stories about integral things. Or this episode is based on heartbreak. I'm going to give y'all some heartbreak stories. He might already have something in the cut, but if you do have something that you kind of want to tell the people
each
for
week.
Now, like right now, like I know that it's kind of like,
no, yeah. I got you.
Cause normally we do like the heart of the week, or we do like a thought of the week.
No, I got
just
you.
Just kind of like give your people something to go off of for the rest of the week. What would you say we're closing out to the people who listen to you today? They get a lot about you today, and I'm sure people need to hear everything you said.
Yeah. I think for me, one of the biggest game changers that I heard was work harder on yourself than you do anything else. And when you're lost and you're not aware, you don't understand what that means. Until you get to a point in your life where you're either desperate or inspired to change your life. And for me, I was desperate for a change. And, you know, I didn't know what to do. I just started applying myself in different areas, went to school. And I could just say, when you start applying yourself, don't be surprised when life starts panning out for you. When you start making better choices, don't be surprised when life starts panning out for you. But in the meantime, between time, it's hard for our people to get unstuck and see where they're at. So I would just say work hard on yourself, because work hard on yourself, then you do that relationship. And we don't know how to. It's just 30 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, personal development, creating more healthier habits, not just physically working out, but healthier habits of how we process things and how we handle things, you know, and those small areas that we neglect, not the areas that we show up as, not our talents, not our gifts. Our gifts and our talents will show up wherever we go. Wherever we go, your gifts and talents are going to show up. But it's your character. Your character. If your character's not right, your character will hold you back.
Mm. Absolutely.
Where can they find you at?
Your character. Huh?
Where can they find you at? Social media? Like, let them know where they can find you at.
Naeem Turner on IG. I'm Naeem Turner on everything, for my name's on everything, man. We about to have a midnight run, 700 people. We got the city behind it. You know, this is our 11th one, and this is the first time the city's behind it.
That's so good.
And I'm not mad. I'm just like,
yes, that's so good.
You
know,
thank you.
Yes.
At the end of the day, I'm just like, I always tell folks, like, who I get to be for people. The money is great. I appreciate all the acknowledgement. I'm very humble when it comes to that, but who I get to be for people, you know what I mean? Like, this, I laugh and joke with y'all, but who I get to be for people, because it's like, I wasn't always this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want to say that cliche, if I could do it, you could do it. I'm going to just say, at the end of the day, don't be surprised when you put your best foot forward when things start to happen for you.
I like that saying. Man, we appreciate you coming here today, giving us your story. You will be here weekly, right, Naeem?
I will be here weekly.
Come on, because you said you
I started to text you outside, like, yo, I got an emergency.
I was going to get you. But we appreciate you, Naeem, so much. The first episode, pilot episode, you'll catch it on YouTube. We'll get your YouTube going. Anything else, guys? We got everything?
Oh, we got everything.
Good. All right, let's clap it up. First episode. We are done. Good job.
Oh, all right, so
I'm gonna stop the camera. That was great.
Was it?
That was really good.